RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Afternoon. Hopefully the snow's going to let up a little bit. Seems like it's doing that just that right now. But boy, it came down in a hurry. We had a couple inches already here, Kang, but the snow came down quite a lot in the last hour.
That's a lot of snow, man. I feel like I did not. Do you hear what they're calling this thing, by the way? Like this weather that we're getting?
No, I'm dying to know what term they've coined this time.
Bomb cyclone, is it?
Oh, it's another bomb cyclone. Is that what we have? I like
and
the
then there's
cyclone.
Another one. There's some kind of Genesis, bomb Genesis or something. I got to look it up now. Because I saw the definition. It's like the meteorologists, they can call up for Texas. I don't know, but there's when something happens within 24 hours of this and that, and then you come up with these two words and you put them together.
Oh.
And it becomes bomb cyclone.
So if you're born in the month of March and your favorite color is, then this is your blues name. Things like that. Those stupid games. No, bomb cyclone. I love when we first heard that a few years ago. I loved it. I'm like, that sounds like fun.
From a video that I had seen of someone explaining it, and I might have this a little bit wrong, but basically it's something when like a warm and cold pressure, the way that they kind of mix, but it's like, it's the way they kind of hit each other, I guess, is like the main thing. And it basically creates, like you said, it was nearly 60 degrees, you know, less than 12 hours ago, and then it'll drop significantly overnight.
Like in a 24-hour period, yeah.
I imagine if this happens in the summer, it's a tornado. Is that kind of like what we're looking at?
Yeah, we would be screwed if this is summertime.
Yeah, but this is the winter, so instead it turns into a winter storm like that. Boom, bomb cyclone. Could have used the snow on Christmas Day to have a white Christmas and look pretty. No, that wasn't the case. Not the case at all.
Yeah, so it's bomb cyclone or AKA bombogenesis.
Bombogenesis?
Which one do you like better?
Bomb O?
Yeah, B-O-M-B-O genesis.
Oh, that's interesting. There's a little Irish flair to it. Bombogenesis.
Why would you choose McLovin? You sound like an Irish R&B singer.
Get a clue. I think I like Bombo. No, I like Bomb Cyclone better.
Bomb Cyclone?
Yeah, because you get the word bomb and the word cyclone. Genesis is just, it's a start of something, right? I don't know if I buy that one as much. But it looks pretty, and hopefully it's calmed down a little bit, and now the fog has lifted a little bit too, so you can see the visibility has gotten better, and hopefully that means fewer accidents on the road. So again, be careful out there. 248-539-9797. Dennis is next up in Traverse City. Dennis, welcome to 97.1.
Hello.
Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Good. So a few years back, I was listening to Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin and Moving the Chains, and Pat Kerwin said that he's played football, coached football, scouted football, worked in that offices of football teams. He said that when you promote someone from coordinator to head coach or from an assistant coach to coordinator, if it's their first time in that position, it takes them 5 years to learn the job. So if you want these guys to be look like they've been doing it for 5 years, you got to go out and get a guy that's done it for 5 years. If you promote a new guy, you need to be patient.
Well, it can work both ways. I mean, I don't know if I'd buy that completely. Thanks for calling, Dennis. I mean, Ben Johnson had not been a coordinator, And when they gave him the coordinator's job, it really didn't take that long for the offense to really kind of take off. Now, given it was Dan Campbell's offense, but Ben Johnson ended up being the coordinator. And was year two, they won 12 games with Ben Johnson. In year one, they ended up on that tear at the end of the season to win 8 games down the stretch to make it close at the end when they went 9-8. So I don't know. It goes both ways. That being said, do the Lions need to move on from their coordinators is a valid question to ask. And I think it's obvious they're going to find somebody else to be an offensive coordinator and call plays for them. But I imagine it's still going to be Dan Campbell's offense. Just somebody else is going to run it. Who they find to get to do that? I don't know. We'll wait and see. That's going to be an interesting part. Do I hope it's somebody that has experience? Yes, because I do think experience matters. And there's something about having a track record to go back and look and finding whether it's working with a similar type quarterback or a similar type offense. That does matter. Defensively, that's the big question. Is Calvin Shepard the guy? Is he simply learning on the job here this first year? I think there's a lot to like with Calvin Shepard, and there's a lot to question with Calvin Shepard. And some of it is hard because of all the injuries they've had to the secondary. I mean, it's just amazing when you look at players that have unfortunately been unavailable to them. I mean, this is a roster that has just been ravaged by injuries, and particularly into the secondary. When you look at Terrion Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw and Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph, all those guys have been out for long periods of time. And then players that you're bringing in now that you have to be starters. I mean, Khalil Dorsey spent time on the sidelines for a bit. Arthur Maulet has been in and out of the lineup. I think DJ Reed, Kang, would you say that DJ Reed's been a little bit of a disappointment this year at corner?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure if it was the hamstring injury he's still recovering from. He's not 100%, but I expected more out of DJ Reed. More number one corner-like coverage. I feel like a lot of times I've always seen him chasing the receiver. And some of it is technique with trail position, but other times I think it's just too much. Like, he's always behind the receiver. But, yeah, there's more focus on him, too, because when you have 3/4 of the secondary missing, you're going to be looking at the guy who's still there, right?
Yeah, you're looking at him. You're looking at Amik Robertson. And
Amik's played well, I think. I mean, Rakia Sin has played well, I think, for being thrust into a lot more playing time than maybe we all expected.
Yeah, and I think it stretches that they have. And for Rakia Sin, you're not expecting him to be a starter, but he's been thrown into that situation. But looking at guys that they drafted in the same draft with Arnold and Rakestraw, and they've been hurt in each of their first 2 years. Arnold less so, although he's missed a ton of time this year, maybe not as much last year. But Rakestraw's missed both years. And I don't have any confidence that that's a guy that's going to pay off for them in the future. Guys in the secondary, man, they get hurt all the time. Hurt all the time. And you just can't guarantee they're going to come back and they're going to be ready to go. And then all of a sudden to have, like 5 years in your career where you go uninjured. I don't see that happening for guys in the secondary, particularly when they start off their careers hurt.
Yeah. It usually doesn't happen. I mean, sometimes you're not meant to play, in the NFL body wise. Like, I'm not blaming Rakestraw, but
no,
whether it's by
Rakestraw,
luck
it's,
or
it's,
unluck,
yeah.
Whatever it is, that doesn't matter. If you're not available, you're not available. Right?
You're getting hurt. You're getting hurt. Yeah. And I can't count on you. Right. It's a league that is just, it's made by punishing hits. And it's just the everyday grind of playing in the National Football League is a physical toll, particularly for defensive backs, because it's a reactionary position.
Yeah. Look at Thomas Harper. Yeah. He's been concussed a few times, I think, already. I mean, he's been thrust into a starting position, and I'm not sure he can handle it. You just got to... Like the Davenports, the Anzorikes, the Pascals, I think we're all, when people speak of falling in love with their own players, I think they're saying when a guy's injured, maybe it's time to move on and not give him a second, third chance.
Yeah, and the thing that really sucks with the injuries to Rakestraw and Terrion Arnold is that you look at the Eagles, in that same draft, the Eagles were able to get Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And we had heard going into the draft the Lions really high in Quinyon Mitchell, and I think the Eagles even traded up to get him. And like we heard there's a trade, like, ooh, are the Lions moving up to get him? No, Eagles did. And then the Lions obviously thought very highly of Terry and Arnold. They moved up to get Terry and Arnold. Then Cooper DeJean goes. And that was a guy that we had talked a lot about on this show because playing in the Big Ten, we liked him a lot. And he goes, and then the Lions get Rakestraw in the next round. And it's like, okay, here they go. See what they got. And then our guys just haven't played that much. And the Eagles guys have been stars in the league. They need to find the next star. And unfortunately, the Lions can be drafting at like somewhere in the mid to late teens in the draft, depending on what happens on Sunday. But right now, if the draft started today, I believe they're picking 15th. So they should be able to get an excellent player at 15, whether it's an offensive lineman, an edge rusher. Already. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, King. I spent an inordinate amount of time yesterday on my phone looking up a mock draft simulator and going through mock drafts myself. You know, like, how would I do things? And in years past, it's been fun because the Lions have had that extra first-round pick, and they throw wild trade ideas at you. Do you accept them? Do you not accept them? And I've tried different methods of who's available to them at 15 if I make trades or I don't make trades, if I'm staying there. And it looks like you can get an offensive lineman at 15. What I don't know is, what are the Lions looking at? We never know. We know that Brad Holmes goes best player available, right? I'm hoping the best player available is at a position of need. And if you're the Lions, is that need more screaming as an interior offensive lineman, or is it as a tackle? I feel like they've got a bunch of guards on this team, but we don't know who the center is. But if you've got Frank Ragnow coming back, do you need to, you know what I mean? There's a lot of moving parts in the offseason that could dictate how things are going to fall with 15.
But we do know, apparently, you know, if you take it for his word, Brad Holmes does not draft for need. He drafts players, okay? So he's not just going to draft the interior offensive line because, quote, we all think he needs one. He's going to draft a guy that can play, and I hope he does, because you can't... Listen, it's going to be a rookie in there. He better be able to play from day one. Like, we don't have time for to, you know...
Can't have a luxury pick a guy that you just take and develop and out of 15.
That guy's got to be able to play.
So, I think I did probably close to 15 different mock draft simulations yesterday while watching football, and then taking a break, and then again last night watching more football. But I know it's a fun exercise to do, and I think for our show's sake, we're going to hold off on the mock draft until Doug comes back, because I know how much Doug loves the mock draft. That's right. And literally next Monday, we'll have the need to talk about a mock draft, because the season will officially be over for the Detroit Lions. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
So this is, it's kind of a difficult week to do radio-wise with this team, with the Lions, because the season's over, but the season isn't over. Like, they have one game left, but they're not in the playoffs. So for all intents and purposes, the season's done. And yet I'm reluctant to get into the whole discussion about, okay, let's get into the offseason, what has to happen, because we still have another week to see what does have to happen. You know, will it be painfully obvious, more obvious next week than what it is now? Like, I'm not completely closing the door on the idea of Kelvin Shepard being the defensive coordinator of this football team. I think it's been awfully difficult to see results when you don't have a secondary. And when this team did have a secondary, they were much better. Keep in mind, this team got off to a 4-1 start after that awful, you know, first game against the Packers. They got off to the 4-1 start. You know, this team was a pretty good football team. They were 7-4 after they beat the Giants. Took overtime to do it. And yet that Giants game might be the game that starts everybody down the path of, uh-oh, hang on. And Ken, you and I talked about this before the show. That was thinking, yes, the Lions won, but Jameis Winston and the Giant offense had over 500 yards in offense. They ran trick plays that just kind of clowned on the Lions. And if not for Jahmyr Gibbs with a couple of monster plays, you know, the Lions would have lost that game, but Gibbs had 219 yards on the ground. But that started things off on the wrong foot for the defense. That started the run of at least 400, you know, whatever it was, 450 yards a game they were giving up for five straight games. And then they have the effort against the Vikings, which is different because of who the quarterback is. But, I mean, they gave up a ton of yards to the Packers, Cowboys, Rams, and Steelers. Along with the Giants to start that streak. I'm not ready to say absolutely Shepard's not the guy, but I'm certainly leaning in that direction. I don't know if anything will really change on Sunday, except that, okay, if the Bears are going to play their starters and the Lions are able to keep them in check a little bit, then I might be impressed with that, to do it on the road against a team that has shown the ability to be really good offensively at times. They certainly were last night.
Yeah, and you think Shepard would be a little bit familiar with how Ben Johnson likes to run his offense, you know, being on the same staff last couple years. So he's still kind of auditioning his job for you, Gator, right? Kelvin Shepard as the defensive coordinator. So I think the question you got to ask is, how much is this, is the attrition hurt Kelvin Shepard, or how much is it Kelvin Shepard didn't put his players in the right position to succeed? Like, you got to feel for him a little bit. Obviously, he lost two all-pro safeties, a starting corner in Terry Arnold. DJ Reed was out for a significant amount of time, right? Ali McNeil came back midway through the year, but wasn't the same. How much did Tyreek Williams develop enough? So how much is this from the injuries? How much is it from Kelvin Shepard? That's a big question to answer when we head into the offseason. Do they need a defensive coordinator, a new one?
Yeah, and if you do that, then as somebody else brought up, you know, you want to bring in somebody with experience. And yeah, I would want to bring in somebody with experience if I'm going to make that change. Or are they going to be committed to keeping this thing going? And we don't know, because one thing we've seen under Dan Campbell is they've been willing to make changes. Changes to assistant coaches, changes to coordinators. They've done it all the way. Either way, I should say. You know, it was the first season. They moved on from Anthony Lynn as the offensive coordinator. They moved on from position coaches. So this will be interesting to see what they decide to do. But I also feel like if it's done, I don't want it to be scapegoated. I think that there's lots of reasoning for why this season went south the way it did. And I don't think anybody likes to accept what it is. I don't think you like to accept that it comes down to the offensive line being completely different. You know, the Frank Ragnow retires, and then you've got injuries to that line. I don't think people like to accept that the secondary has been decimated when you lose your starting two safeties. You know, Kirby Joseph has missed half the season at least, and Brian Branch has missed he'll miss the last four games of the season and had been in and out of a couple games prior to that. And those guys are such difference makers. Brian Branch is such an amazing difference maker. I don't think they lose to Pittsburgh if Branch plays in that game, because I don't think Pittsburgh's going to reel off three plays of significance like they did for touchdowns if Branch is there. I think at least one of those plays gets thwarted and rather quickly because he's outstanding. And he's going to be out for a significant portion next year. So we'll see what the Lions end up deciding, what they decide to do in the offseason with free agents and then going into the draft. But it'll be a much deeper dive a week from now than where it is right now. But that being said, we can still talk about it. What bothers you the most with this team going into the last week of the season? What's been the biggest disappointment going into the last week of the season? I think obviously not making the playoffs is probably the biggest disappointment. But beyond that, was there a move or has there been a player that's been disappointing? And you can look at the other side too and say what's been actually kind of surprising in a good way or encouraging for the future. I think Isaac Teslai is an encouraging player for the future. And every game when he makes plays, you're like, wow, why isn't he used more? And is it simply he's just not ready to take on that kind of workload, or he hasn't built up the trust enough with Jared Goff or Dan Campbell? Remains to be seen. But I think moving forward, Isaac Teslai is going to be a big part of this offense. He just catches everything that's thrown to him, and he has proven that he is a threat in the red zone. He'll go up and get it. He's one of the few players on his team who can give you that vertical threat. We're going straight up. You know, Laporta is another one, a bigger target. Laporta and you know, losing Laporta more than halfway through the season was monstrously bad.
The loss of the two tight ends for this team is a way more significant than I think people realize. Laporta, they asked so much of him, okay? In the receiving part, the blocking part, he sets the edge for those outside runs where Gibbs can get outside and then turn the corner. And then Brock Wright, a great blocking tight end, and catches the ball whenever thrown to him. Those two guys do so much. They ask so much of their tight ends in this offense that when they lost both of them, I think not just the interior line, the whole offensive line, they're part of the offensive line, if you ask me. They just could not run the ball anymore after that. And like I said, they couldn't get outside. Those are two significant injuries I don't think people talk about nearly enough. Like, you could say St. Brown and Jamo and Tesla and all this stuff, but if you guys, those tight ends were huge for this offense.
Yeah, I love having tight ends on this team, and those two were really good, and I think that's a position they're going to have to look at in the offseason and help to bolster. They got a decision to make on Laporta. He's entering year four, if I'm not mistaken, and that's his last year of the deal because he was a second-round pick, so it's a four-year contract. So do you give him an extension? Do you wait till after the year to give him the extension? I think they have some room to wiggle with there. Some wiggle room is really what I'm looking for. But they have some wiggle room because of the ability to franchise a player if they want to, or transition a player, whatever they want to do, and save money elsewhere. I don't know. But those are, again, adding to a laundry list of decisions that they have to make. 248-539-9797. Kaiser is in Clinton Township. Kaiser, welcome to 97.1.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm driving here.
Be careful.
Yeah, icy. Yeah, I'm calling to say I count the team to be over a couple weeks ago when they lost against the Steelers. And my biggest fear is when they go into play against Chicago is that they're going to have more injuries coming up. And I don't want to have them play the starters, you know.
So who would you say?
Play as more of a who I would sit.
Yeah, well, I mean, you say all. I mean, because you can't sit every starter, but who in particular do you not want to see play?
I don't want to see Jared Goff play. Wouldn't want to see J-Mo play. I would more count as more of a preseason game than anything else to see if any of the other guys on the practice squad can do anything too, to see what they can do. I want to put our starters in the line of fire if they don't need to be.
Well, I guess, and thanks for the call. I can understand to some extent with some players that I might say you don't have to play. Guys have been banged up. Like, if Penei Sewell has been on the injury report every week for the last several, I don't know how many weeks he's been on the injury report with practice report. if they tell him he's not going to play, it wouldn't surprise me. And other players on the offensive line that have been hurt, like Taylor Decker. Does Taylor Decker need to play the last week of the season? Maybe not. But I think other guys, absolutely, like Jared Goff's been completely healthy, knock on wood. And I get it. You don't want him to get hurt. But at the same time, this is a guy who's making, you know, $50 million a year. He doesn't want to sit. I'll guarantee that. If we talk to him tomorrow, his mindset is he's playing. And he wants to play the whole game. But a guy like St. Brown, he got banged up. Is he going to play? Doesn't need to. I think it's going to come down to guys that are, guys that show up on the injury report, Kang, if they come up as questionable, then maybe that's as good as doubtful. Then maybe you just say, okay, you're questionable. Maybe you're not playing. That could be different. 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
So there is one less head coaching candidate out there for the NFL hiring cycle and college football hiring cycle. I suppose it still matters there. Pat Forty says that Marcus Freeman has informed NFL franchises that he's staying at Notre Dame. Freeman and Notre Dame have agreed to a restructured contract that puts him in the top tier in compensation among college coaches. So, good news for Notre Dame fans. They get to hang on to Marcus Freeman. Bad news for, I guess, Giant fans. They thought they were going to land Marcus Freeman, and they're not going to. And Marcus Freeman's a heck of a coach. Like him a lot. I don't like Notre Dame, but I like Marcus Freeman. So good for him that he's going to stick around there. With the Lions is a whole other story. What's going on with this team? 1 week to go before the end of the season finally comes. And it's interesting. I was talking with Rieger at some point last week, and it was moving on between shows or whatever it was, and he was saying that, you know, if the Lions end up losing to the Vikings, nobody's going to, they're just, do they even want to, that his thought was even before that game, before the Vikings game, Lions fans wanted to check out and just be done with it, right? Put us out of our misery, lose the game. Well, they got his wish. They lost the game to the Vikings. And my thought when he said that to me, I was like, I think Lions fans still want to have some kind of hope and hope that they win that game and have a chance to make the playoffs. Well, they lost the game. So it's that game effectively put them out of their misery. How did it change? You know, what happened over the weekend? Once the Lions were done, how did your mood change? How does your feelings for the NFL change?
So I didn't think this was going to be the year for the Lions. It was after the Giants win, personally, for me, where I just thought, okay, it's one thing to overcome your warts and red flags. It's another one, they're still there all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt like there are just too many red flags, too many warts, that they weren't going to overcome them, the injuries, everything. So I didn't think this was going to be the year they went deep into the playoffs. With that being said, I still rooted for them to get into the playoffs because I want a chance. Just like anybody else, you never know what can happen. They're my team. I'll root for them. I don't care what anyone says. I'm rooting for them to win and make the playoffs. When it was finally done this weekend, or on Christmas, and Max Brosmer, and the Vikings put them out of their misery, as some people would say. Not for me. I didn't want to be put out of my misery, right. but the end of their playoff chances. I watched the NFL this weekend, Gator, in spite. I was jealous and spiteful of every NFC team because I figured that why couldn't it be us to have a chance?
Right.
You know, I'm like, do I think the winner of the NFC South is going to win it? No, but at least they get to be in the dance, and I wanted to be in the dance. So last night I'm watching the Bears and Niners. I'm hoping both lose. This year it's easy for me, Gator. I usually root for the NFC in the Super Bowl. I'm rooting for the AFC this year.
Yeah.
I am.
No, you know what? I'm with you. I get annoyed, and it feels like year in and year out, where it comes down to the last week of the season, and there's potential that the champion of the NFC South might have a losing record. And it won't this year. Well, actually, I guess this year it could have 2-8-9 teams, right? And they take the better of the 2-8-9 teams. It annoys me because the Lions have never, they haven't been in that division in forever. The NFC North, like the Packers have always been good enough. We're not threatening to backdoor it and get in with an 8-9 record, or at the time would have been an 8-8 record in a 16-game schedule. You know, 9-7 was rarely good enough to win a division in the Lions division. Now it's been done, but it feels like it's been forever. So I get annoyed with that whole mess. I was rooting hard for Carolina yesterday because I want Carolina to succeed. I want Carolina to be that team. They'll go in on a high note, and are they going to create any issues? Maybe not. And they got handled pretty well by Seattle. But are they better than Tampa? I mean, just when you get behind Baker Mayfield looks like he's just an average quarterback at best. So I'm with you. I'm rooting for the AFC. And it's easier to say that now, knowing that there's no Patrick Mahomes. I'm rooting like hell for Baltimore to beat the Steelers so that Aaron Rodgers doesn't make it and the Steelers don't make it. Like, I don't like the Steelers to begin with. I never have. But the fact that Aaron Rodgers there makes it easier to root against. And I like Lamar Jackson. I like Derrick Henry. I want them to succeed and at least win this game so that they're in and the Steelers are out. The other thing is delicious about that whole thing is that DK Metcalf isn't playing. Why? Because he took a swing at a Detroit Lions fan. Who, by the way, might be a giant toolbox. I saw this statement, the quick video clip, the 30-second clip, where he's asking DK Metcalf to please come forward and let everybody know that there was nothing racial that was said. That he never said anything like that. But the problem is you go out and then you... What set him off, apparently, with the trolling was that you called him by his real name, and he didn't like that. And then you're doing that in the press conference. Dude, what are you doing?
Then you're not that serious.
Then you're not that serious. No, you're just trolling on a national scale now, and I don't like that. I don't appreciate it.
The press conference looked fake. It looked like something out of a TV show.
He's wearing a hat, and I mean, come on. Yeah, we got it. You're a Lions fan. Anyway, that's aside from. But what I think is delicious is DK Metcalf got suspended for the final two games of the season, and it might cost his team the playoffs. They really could have used him in their game this weekend against Cleveland, and they didn't have him, and they lost. Whoops. And now they don't have him against Baltimore to finish off the year. But the AFC is just, it's more interesting to me. The Drake May hysteria, I love it. I'm excited about Drake May and what he can do. I think he's a very good quarterback. And yeah, I recognize that the Patriots have had the easiest schedule in football. But they still had to play Buffalo twice. I like Jacksonville, the story there with what's going on with Trevor Lawrence. I love Trevor Lawrence in college. I was hoping he was going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. It's taken him a while. He had the question last week, Kang, has he turned the corner? I think he's kind of turned the corner. I'm rooting for him. I'm a big Bo Nix fan, and I hate the Broncos. I've never liked the Denver Broncos. From the moment I started watching professional football in 1977, and the two teams that vied for the Super Bowl after the 77 season were the Cowboys and the Broncos. I was a big Cowboy fan because of Tony Dorsett. I couldn't stand the Broncos from that moment on. And that was never a John Elway fan or whatever. But I like Bo Nix. And this is a likable team that the Broncos have. They have a really good defense and they get after it. And it's really also the fact that they've taken on Kansas City and they
I think you touched on it earlier. I think Patrick Mahomes fatigue,
yeah.
Travis Kelce fatigue, the Chiefs fatigue, Andy Reid. There's going to be some new fresh blood with the AFC this year, and they're young. They're young quarterbacks that obviously haven't won anything because Mahomes has been there the whole time. But someone is going to get a shot at their first Super Bowl most likely here. I mean, I'm not counting Rodgers. So, you know, whether it's Lamar, Josh Allen, Bo Nix, Drake May, whoever, I mean, Justin Herbert. It's going to be somebody fresh, young, and new blood from the AFC. I usually root for our conference, wherever we're from, but not this year. I'm just that jealous and spiteful. No one from the NFC can win it.
No, I mean,
unless it's the Lions.
I'm certainly not rooting for the Rams.
No.
San Francisco, I'm not rooting for San Francisco. I like Brock Purdy, but I don't like San Francisco. Seattle, absolutely not. It's a hard no to Seattle, dog. The South already talked about that, and then you've got the teams in the North. I'm not rooting for a team from the North to get there. In the Eagles, we've seen and done that, so forget that. 248-539-9797. Same number to text. We'll get to, like, I see we got people on hold. We'll talk to you next and take those texts. We continue here in 97.1. Lions lose on Christmas Day. I hope it didn't ruin your Christmas. It didn't ruin mine. I mean, it kind of jolted things. We hit pause on the game, had dinner. Dinner was spectacular, by the way, if I must say so. I made a beef tenderloin, and Kang, I am telling you, it was cooked to perfection.
Well, I got to ask the people that ate it, not just the person who made it.
I understand. I will tell you what my mother said to me last night. She said it was the best beef tenderloin she's ever had. I think my brother was very happy with it. My nephew said I do a great job with it. And then there were some...
What, does everyone like it cooked, prepared the same way?
No. No, which... So, you know, I have a problem with math, right? The math and I, we don't get along too well. So I go into it in my head thinking I need a certain amount for the beef tenderloin. Like, do I need a 6 pound or a 7 pound, 8 pound? What do I need? What do I need to go into it? Because math is bad for me. And I started thinking that there were 12 ounces in a pound instead of 16 ounces in a pound. So when the guy at the butcher shop is telling me that he's like, yeah, well, we got this one that's already trimmed. It just needs to be tied, but it says 6 pound. I'm like, it's not enough. You know, I'm thinking to myself, I've got 8 people showing up. I need more than that. So I ended up getting the 6 pound beef tenderloin, and then I got 3 fillets to go with it. Because there are 3 people that want it cooked much differently than the rest of us would. So that was actually the way to go. But that was a lot of meat for the 8 of us. And there were tons of leftovers, which I'm not complaining about because the leftovers are fantastic. I made a couple of sliders the last couple of days with some brioche buns. God, those are great. But it was, math was a problem with me because the 6 pound would have been plenty. And I could have just simply cut it into 2 pieces, a much smaller piece, and done that one well done like the ladies wanted it done. Not my mom, though. My mom's a trooper. She likes it medium rare.
There you go, Mom.
Yeah. So it was really good. My brother made these cheesy potatoes, which are delicious. We had some roasted vegetables. It was all great. Dessert was nice. Lots of cookies. It was good. And yours was hijacked because of illness.
Yeah, we didn't do any of that, Gator. My mother-in-law, we're going to in-laws on Christmas Eve. Usually it's like a full spread of like, it's a potluck. We order a sushi tray. There's, you know, going to be ham and all the sides and whatnot. And the next day, my mom had already put the menu together, of course, because she had been planning this for weeks, was prime rib, salmon.
Oh, boy.
Ham as well.
Wow.
But family stayed home. And they got like ramen noodles or something.
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. Something warm. I don't know. Sucked.
Broth. We had broth. Let's go back to the phones. 248-539-9797. Peyton is in Chesterfield. Peyton, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
All right, Peyton.
I'm just sitting here eating the world's thickest chicken salad sandwich, thinking about the Lions. I'm utterly disappointed this year. How could we go from the NFC Championship against the 49ers, lose that game, lose against the Commanders last year, and just throw up this utter joke of a season? And honestly, I don't know why our fans are hating on previous players from the Lions. I want Ben Johnson and the Bears to succeed. I'd like to see that out of them. They're just the Lions from Chicago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's tough to accept. I don't want, because it happened so quickly for the Bears. I mean, their first year, they made some very savvy moves over the last couple of years, both in the draft and free agent wise and trade wise. They've really built the roster. It's a quality roster that they have. But Peyton, you understand what happened with this team this year, with the offensive line in particular. That's going to torpedo the chances of the offense being special, the way that the injuries just mounted in the Frank Ragnow retirement before the season begins. I mean, you understand why the season is where it's at.
Oh, yeah, I completely understand it. It's just things are not going the way that I like to see them go. And no. It's just injuries are another big part of that. Don't get me wrong. It's just I'm not seeing the Lions that I saw against in the past couple of years. We've had injuries before, and we've gone through them, and we were a highly ranked team, and now we're just a joke in the NFC North.
Well, it's not a joke, but and thanks for the call. I appreciate that. But they're certainly not what they were. And I think if you just – all you have to do is look at the offensive line. You know, the team that got to the NFC Championship game, the team won 15 games last year, that team had Frank Ragnow at center, and you had your bookend tackles, and you had guards that played the majority of those games, the vast majority of those games. This year, you had no Frank Ragnow. You had Taylor Decker banged up all season long, missing a couple games along the way. And you had a rotation at your guard spot. And the one guy's played every game, basically, at right guard in Tate Ratledge. He's a rookie. And Christian Mahogany, the other guard, he's effectively a rookie because he didn't play much at all last year in his rookie season. And then you got Graham Glasgow playing at center. Totally different look. It was a totally different look. And then when injuries start to mount, it changes everything. And the more I say it, the more it sounds like an excuse, but it's not. It's just the way that I can explain what happened. Now, looking at other teams that deal with injuries, because every team has to deal with injuries, other teams handle it better. Why? Why did they handle it better? I think because they didn't have to go to their third deep at that position like the Lions have had to do. Like, if they lose a starter, it's bad. And the Lions lost starters. But then the Lions would lose the backup. And then they would lose the backup to the backup. That's a difference. That's a whole different ballgame. You know, going with your, they're working with their third and fourth string and fifth string tight ends. Look at what they've done at center. You start with Glasgow, then you went to Tristan Colon, and then you finish with Kingsley Ekubon. Looking at left tackle, you know, Dan Skipper had to play the last game at left tackle. And that's not ideal for this team when they had all these other options that got hurt in the preseason or got hurt early in the season and didn't play a down this year. And let alone what's happened to the secondary, which is absolutely incredible to see how they've tried to piece it together. Yeah, they had the Legion of Whom that reared their head for one game, and they looked great in that one game. And then, okay, done being the Legion of Whom because they revert to being what they were, which were a bunch of backups playing and playing admirably, playing their hearts out, but not good enough.
Yeah, but in the end, they weren't starters for a reason. And yes. How long could you hold? You know, you couldn't.
Exactly.
And I keep going back to it, but the loss of Sam Laporta and Brock Wright were even bigger for this team who already had offensive line issues. They rely so much on their tight ends from the receiving aspect, from the blocking aspect. They were never able to set the edge and go outside again. Obviously, they couldn't run up the middle. And maybe, you know, it's something, it was just too much for them, but you would think like, hey, they got to call up plays or schemes that these guys can execute, right? Because there's just too many times there's misassignments and just not executing the play.
No, they haven't had a running game in weeks. And it's just, it is what it is. And the end of the season comes in 6 days. Stacy, you're next up on 97.1.
Hey, I want to take you guys off of Bluetooth. My question is for Kane. Kane, I know every year you do a bet going to Vegas and do a dollar bet that the Lions will make it to the Super Bowl. Well, I go to Vegas for New Year's, and I wanted to see if I could do the dollar bet. I wanted to ask you, is it too early, you think? Is it too early to do that bet? And how much is the payout, you think?
Oh, you want to do the Lions for 2026?
Yes, yes. I think if we do the fourth-place schedule, if we have the fourth-place schedule, I think it would be a great bet, you know? So maybe if I can do it this early, I'll get better odds. I wanted to ask you guys that question.
I can't imagine it's going to be too crazy. I mean, because it's still I think it's still a team that's got a lot of talent. What would you think, King? Something like 20 to 1?
Yeah, 20 to 1 seems about right or perfect, Gator. Honestly, right around there right now. But it might be your best value because he's looking for value. Because
yeah.
It might after the draft and off season, they might get better, and so that's gonna come down. But yeah, right now I'm not sure who's got futures already, but I think right now would be your best value. You're right about that.
Might have to wait till after the season before they throw up those odds for the next season.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Okay. Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call. But the other question, and real quickly, King, when you go to Vegas, you also place a bet on somebody else for value.
Yeah, I do my long shot. It's usually 40 to 1 or worse. Remember the year I took, I took the Bears or 2 years ago? Damn it, too soon.
Did you take one this year?
Yeah, but I remember it was Ryan Williams to win the Heisman because I didn't like anyone in the NFL.
That's
and
right.
I told Doug to vote for Ryan Williams.
More to come, 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.